أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, in our previous session I talked about the definition of morality. I also talked that Islamic morality was a composition or a combination of meta-ethics and normative ethics. And I also elaborated on the topic, saying that if you give a look at Islamic morality, you will find out that there are discussions in Islamic morality that are related to meta-ethics. For example, the Mu'tazilites were talking about justice as to whether it was what God was saying or it was something that was understood by human intellect. Such discussions fall within the realm of meta-ethics. And of course, there are discussions in Islamic morality that are related to normative ethics. For example, there are discussions pertaining to the duties of every Muslim. What does every Muslim what should every Muslim do in their daily activities? The science that actually points out the duties of Muslims, this science is the science of morality, and these duties are normative duties. And I also pointed out that if we want to have a full grasp of Islamic morality, we need to touch meta-ethics and normative ethics that are developed in Western environment. So today I want to elaborate on some approaches in meta-ethics. As I pointed out earlier, in meta-ethics there are major approaches that need to be treated. There are, for example, cultural relativism, divine common theory, and there are other approaches. Today I want to specifically deal with cultural relativism as a metaphysical, as a meta-ethical approach. What is cultural relativism? What does it say in regard with moral values? According to this school of thought, morality is actually the traditions, customs, and the norms that exist in every society. Of course, if you go to any society, if you visit any society, you will find lots of tradition, lots of norms, lots of customs. These customs are actually another word for the morality that exists in such societies. So what is good and what is bad? It is actually decided by society. Good is what that is approved by the society, and bad is that that is disapproved of by the society. So we should always refer to the society. We should always see what the society says. Whatever is approved by the society, that is good, and that has to be followed. And whatever is disapproved by the society, then that has to be avoided, that has to be shunned. So the main criterion is the society. The main criterion is the prevailing culture. Look at the culture and look at the society in which you live. What does it say? According to this school of thought, moral values are not absolute. They are relative. Every society has its own set of moral values. And since societies differ from place to place and from location to location, therefore the norms and the cultural values also differ from place to place and from environment to environment. This is what the cultural relativists point out. In order to explain the theory presented by this school of thought, we need to present a preliminary remark. Firstly, we should say that in philosophical sciences, the existence or being is divided into two kinds. Some beings and some existence are real. They are factual, they are real. They do not differ from place to place, they are the same. But there are other types of existence and beings that are called considered beings. They are actually different, and they differ from place to place. If we want to explain these two kinds of beings by examples and by instances, we should say that actually when you say 2 plus 2 is equal to 4, it is an example of a real being, of a real knowledge. It does not differ from place to place. In Asia, 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. In Europe, 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. In America, 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. So everywhere the same proposition holds, and everywhere it is true, and you find no exception for this proposition. Or for example, we say that it is not possible to have contradiction, and contradiction is impossible. So this is also a universal truth. It does not differ from country to country and from place to place. So this is also a universal truth. Or for example, you said that gravity exists, gravitational force exists. This is also a scientific law, and nobody can contradict this law, and nobody can reject this law. This is a universal law, and you cannot find any variance in this law. But of course, there are other things that are not as such. They differ from place to place. For example, look at the traffic rules. There are traffic rules, but the traffic rules are different. Every country might have a different traffic rules, different signs to some extent. For example, some countries tell the drivers to move from the right direction. They say keep right. And some countries tell their drivers to move from the left direction, telling them keep left. So you see that it is the country and it is the population of that country who decide what to do in regard with managing the traffic. So this is you can call such kind of things considered facts or considered signs. This is one kind of explanation. Also, we can explain it in other way. We can say that beings can also be divided into other categories. We have absolute beings and we have relative beings. Some beings, some existence are absolute, and some existence and some beings are relative. the beings that are absolute. For example, everything you see might be absolute in a manner. For example, look at the table. The table is an existent. It is an absolute being. Look at, for example, at the wall. Wall is an existent, and it is also an absolute being. Look at around yourself, your friend. All of them, all of these examples are actually examples of independent beings. But there are also other beings that are not existent, that are existent, absolutely existent. There are beings that are relative. They are existing relatively. For example, you say right and left. Right and left do not exist independently. They are dependent on other things. Left to something, right to something. But left without any preposition does not exist. When you say that I'm left to my friend, this is correct. But if you say I'm left without any preposition, this usage may not seem to be correct. So left can be used with to, but not without to. And similarly, right can be used with to, not without to. This kind of existence or relative existence. So now let us go to our own discussions. What about moral values? Are moral values relative or absolute? Are they real or considered? According to this school of thought, moral values, moral principles are relative. They are not absolute. Whenever you talk about morality, you say that something is good. It cannot be correct to say it is good. In order to reach a correct statement, we should say it is good in a specific society. It is bad in a specific society. So we cannot say that something is absolutely good or something is absolutely bad. This is not a correct judgment. The correct judgment is to say it is good in a particular society. It is bad in a particular society. When you say Hitler was a bad person, according to them, it cannot be a universal proposition because it is bad in accordance with the norms and standards of a specific society. It is not an absolute proposition. According to this school of thought, whenever you pass moral judgments, you must take into account a specific society. And based on the norms of that specific society, you must pass your moral judgments. Without that, your moral judgments will not be valid. And if you do not mention any specific society, they say the main standard will be the society of the speaker. For example, if a person says that Hitler was a bad person without mentioning any other country, if he says suffices to this sentence, then we conclude that the standards on the basis of which this moral proposition is issued is the society of the speaker. So the speaker has taken the norms of his own society into account, and based on the norms of his own society, he has passed this judgment. So this is what these relativists tell us. So according to them, we do not have any absolute values in morality. Our values are always relative to our societies. Maybe in our society some things are good, while the same things are not good in other societies. For example, they produce the example of infanticide. Infanticide was good once among ancient Romans, but it is no longer a good tradition now. So since the societies have differed, therefore the norms have also differed. In the past, it was a good tradition, and morally it was right. But today it is a bad tradition because the society does not approve of it. So that is the reason they produce. According to them, we cannot talk of global ethics. We do not have anything in the name of global ethics. Or we do not have anything in the name of absolute ethics. Ethics and moralities are always relative and always, geography bound and location bound. It is the location that tells us what is good and what is bad. It is the society that tells us what is good, what is bad. X is good, for example, if the society approves of it. And X is bad if the society disapproves of it. This is what the cultural relativists tell us. Of course, they also present certain points as the arguments to support this claim. For example, they say that if you refer to social sciences support cultural relativism. Anthropologists, for example, point out that what is correct is cultural relativism. They say that moral development, your moral growth has certain stages. And these stages are very important. And one of the stages is punishment, one is reward, and one is parental approval, and one is social approval. These are the different stages. And the last stage is the social approval. They say, the social scientists tell us, that social approval is very much important. What is good? Good is what that is approved by the society. When you are a child, you say that what is good? Good is what that does not have any punishment. And later on, when you are asked what is good, you would say that good is what that is that has reward. Later on, when you are asked what is good, you would say that good is what that is approved by your parents. And finally, when you are asked what is good, you would say that good is what that is approved by the society. So this is the last stage of moral development, according to the social scientists, as they point out. So the social sciences say and confirm what the cultural relativists present. This is one point. Another point that they present is that is living in other societies. If you want to realize that the idea presented by this school of thought is correct, you need to travel abroad, and you must live in different societies. As long as you live in a specific location, not moving here and there, you will not agree with cultural relativism. You will reject it very easily. But if you happen to visit different countries, if you happen to go to different parts of the world, then you will understand that, okay, what is correct and what is right is cultural relativism. And there is no absolute goodness and absolute badness in morality. Everything is relative. Yes, you have your own traditions, and I have my own traditions. Your traditions are good, my traditions are also good. The only thing they are accepting is that your tradition might be different from my tradition, and my tradition might be different from your tradition. What is acceptable is the difference that exists among different traditions. And in addition to the difference, we cannot pass any other judgment in this connection. So this is another point. Go and live in different locations of Earth. You will find out that cultural relativism is the correct school of thought and the right school of thought in this connection. The third point they present is that cultural relativism increases your tolerance. Of course, we are nowadays living in societies that have different cultures, different norms, and different traditions. In this, cultures and norms must coexist peacefully. They must tolerate each other. They must have friendly relation with each other. They must not fight with each other. If these traditions fight with each other, then blood will be shed. And if blood is shed, then the security of the country will be at risk. And we will not have any sort of security, and as a result, we will not have stability. And as a result, there will be no development, there will be no progress, and everything will be ruined, and we will be in a state of nature, as Hobbes points out. So we all this tell us that we must increase our tolerance. We must be tolerant towards each other. We must be tolerant towards the differences. We must accept the differences. The variety of cultures, the variety of traditions is a matter of differences. We must not say that they are wrong according to them. We must not say that they are false. Instead, we must say that they are different. So according to them, if you subscribe to moral relativism, you will be more tolerant. Your tolerance will get increased, and you will face others in a friendly manner. But of course, if you do not believe in this school of thought, if you are, for example, dogmatic, then your tolerance will be lowered, and you will not be able to tolerate others very easily. As a result, you will fight with them. As a result, you will reject them, and this will result in fight and shedding blood, and also it will result in harming the security and ruining the country. So this is the argument they present. They say that if you are loving your country, if you are loving your tradition, if you want to progress, if you want to reach development, then you must be tolerant. And tolerance cannot be achieved without accepting cultural relativism. Cultural relativism is a base, is a fundamental for tolerance. And tolerance is a fundamental for other other ideas. So we must capitalize on things such as tolerance and such as cultural relativism. This is the third argument they present. Another argument that they present, and also very much useful, is that if you subscribe to cultural relativism, you will be able to have a positive approach towards the norms of your society. So how can you develop a positive approach towards the norms that exist in your society? According to them, if you are a cultural relativist, you understand that what is called morality in your society, this is what the society suggests. And what the society suggests is moral principles. So as a matter of fact, moral principles in every society are the prevailing principles. And the prevailing principles are the principles supported by the majority of the population of every country. So according to the cultural relativists, moral principles are the traditions and customs that are supported by the majority of the people. So if you are a cultural relativist, you understand that your ideas, moral ideas, your moral standards are supported by the majority of the people. If they are supported by the majority of the people, then they are the moral principles. So according to you, moral principles are backed and are supported by the majority of people. When you respect moral principles, and as a matter of fact, you respect the majority. You respect the voice of the majority. So you see, this is very much important. According to them, you respect moral principles, but this respect implies a respect to the voice of the majority. In other words, you are respecting majority. You are respecting democracy. So that is why they say that moral relativism is very much important, because moral relativism respects democracy. And democracy is the demand of time. Nowadays, every country, every culture is trying in one way or the other to reach to democracy and to implement democratic norms and standards. So these are the four arguments presented by this school of thought. To summarize my speech today, I should point out that today I introduced the theory presented by the cultural relativists. According to their theory, good is what is approved of by the society, and bad is what is disapproved of by the society. So the main criterion, according to this school of thought, is your society. What does your society say? Take their it is saying into account. If it says something is good, then it is good. And if it says something is bad, it is bad. To justify this theory and to prove this theory, this school of thought presented a number of arguments which I presented. The first argument was that this school of thought is supported by social science. Social science confirms this school of thought. The second argument was living in other places. If you want to accept this school of thought, you have to travel to different parts of the world. By living in different parts of the world, you will be able to confirm this school of thought. The third argument is that this school of thought increases your tolerance towards other people. And since tolerance is nowadays very important, therefore this school of thought that emphasizes on tolerance is also very much important. And the last argument they presented was that cultural relativism is actually respecting and paying homage to democracy. If you subscribe to cultural relativism, if you respect cultural relativism, you are, as a matter of fact, respecting democracy and democratic values. These are the four reasons produced by this school of thought. In our next session, inshallah, we will assess these reasons critically, and we will criticize, inshallah, these points in the coming session. Thank you very much.